Okay, and welcome back. We're going to find out a lot this hour from Dr. Rima Labo, MD, about the latest on the pandemic. I've just put two news stories up, but they'll be up momentarily. You there, Rima, by the way?
I sure am. How are you, Jeff?
Good, good. You sound good. You were under the weather there for a day or two. Glad you're feeling better.
Nanosilver fixed me up.
Well, it's not the easiest way to lose weight, but I guess you said you lost a little weight, too.
Yeah, no, that's not worth losing weight through.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. Here are the two latest stories that I've seen today. I'm sure you've already seen them, but our listeners may not have. Bloomberg reports that, let me just read the first quick paragraph. Swine flu may infect 50% of the American population this year, hospitalize 1.8 million patients, and lead to as many as 90,000 dead, more than twice the number killed in a typical seasonal flu, so said the White House today. We'll talk about that in just a minute with Rima. Now, meanwhile, Ms. Sebelius, Kathy, said the first batch of so-called H1N1 vaccine is on schedule to arrive in the U.S. in mid-October, but the majority of Americans will not be fully immunized against the disease until Thanksgiving. So said Kathy today. She said not all of the vaccine will be ready for mid-October. We always knew, she said, that not all of the vaccine would be ready at the same time. She's pretty smart. It's coming from different manufacturers. Well, that may or may not be the case, because Dr. Patty Doyle noted that in the 1976 swine flu, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, Rima, there were 200,000 doses manufactured. 200 million doses manufactured. 40 million were used on Americans. The results were catastrophic, and the virus was rejected by the American public and eventually withdrawn. It's very interesting to note that that left 160 million doses. This is 1976. Now, the government here named as its first figure of expected doses to be purchased and imported 160 million. Isn't that a strange coincidence? Could it be that these dirty vaccines were just sitting on ice somewhere?
Well, it's very interesting, because when this whole swine flu pandemic hoax began surfacing, I said in print, I wonder what happened to the unused 1976 swine flu vaccines. I wonder whether they're going to be recycled for more profit. It's possible. It's also possible that there's more profit and more genocidal capacity in manufacturing newly formulated, adjuvanted with squalene vaccines. SmithKline Glaxo, whom we'll talk about in a little while, has a very interesting vaccine that they're ready to go with, that they're already going with, as a matter of fact. And other companies, Novartis and Baxter, for instance, are sticking stuff into these vaccines at a level that one would never have imagined unless one were truly a psychopathic, genocidal monster. Those are very strong words. They're not medical words, but these are not medical situations that we're dealing with. Let's talk for a moment, if we may, about the figure that 50% of the U.S. population will be infected. How would they know, since according to the people who would have a way of knowing, according to true experts, 9 out of 10 swine flu tests that read positive are wrong, that read negative are wrong. If you have a test that's wrong 90% of the time, you have no test at all. So right now, we have no test for swine flu. We have no way of knowing whether anybody has, in fact, got the swine flu, or whether they just have a cold or a regular flu. However, since the CDC and the WHO ask countries to stop counting cases, that has given them, several months ago, that has given them free rein to just make up numbers, pull them out of a damp, dark orifice when it is convenient, and say, 50% of the American populace. We have 100 million people infected. Oh, please, would you like to buy a bridge? This is complete nonsense. Then we get to the magical 90,000 dead. Well, there are not 36,000 swine, ordinary flu deaths per year. There are about 1,800 deaths associated with flu per year. But in order to sell vaccines, the figures have been inflated through statistical sleight of hand, which I'll be publishing, as a matter of fact, in our next blast. And by the way, people need to know that they can go to our website, www.healthfreedomusa.org, healthfreedomusa.org. And while they're there, they can take two actions which may, in fact, help to save their lives, the lives of their children, and the lives of their neighbors. But we'll get to that. Ms. Sebelius, Secretary Sebelius, is participating in the old, you can't have it, you can't have it, you want it, but you can't have it, okay, I'll let you have it, teasing routine that young women in the 50s were taught to employ in order to, quote, get a guy. This is absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
They can make as many vaccine batches and doses as they would like. They just have to gear up their facilities, unless, of course, they're using the old vaccine. Now, I want to remind you that the ever manufacturer and genocide-friendly WHO, the head of the WHO, Margaret Chan, said very clearly that in order to help out the vaccine manufacturers, because the H1N1 virus is of such low pathogenicity, in other words, it causes such little disease, they were going to, and I quote, re-engineer the virus to help out the vaccine manufacturers. Well, in my
I heard that. I could hardly believe she would say something like that in public. It's bizarre.
Well, it's kind of like Donald Rumsfeld, who was at the time the Secretary of Defense, saying that it was a missile that hit the Pentagon, and then that disappeared, of course.
Right.
So,
right. Exactly. You said something also about the 160 million doses that could... Since when do these people throw away anything? They'll put it in a warehouse freezer and keep it there as long as they need to in hopes of someday rolling it out and selling it, which is exactly what they may be doing now.
They will bring out another pandemic. By then, maybe people will have forgotten Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, I want to remind people that Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a fancy-dancy made-up name for an old disease, and that disease is polio. Guillain-Barré syndrome, as they decided to call it in order to make it not seem quite so familiar, is a regular, predictable, known consequence of taking live attenuated virus flu shots on a yearly basis. A large number of people, far too large, develop Guillain-Barré syndrome or polio. And by the way, according to the CDC, and I'll also be publishing this quote in our next Health Freedom Action e-alert, according to the CDC, the principal cause of polio is the polio vaccine.
That's
however,
right.
There's another cause of polio, and that is live attenuated influenza vaccine. That means that even before we get to this special, super-duper, amazingly deadly killer virus, the H1N1 virus, that is supposed to have us all trembling in our boots and falling into the plastic coffins that they've got assembled for us around the country, we know that a certain number of people who take any influenza vaccine will develop polio, Guillain-Barré, the 90,000 dead. Well, it is not clear, as I said on a show that we did a while back, Jeff, that a single person has ever died from swine flu. It is not clear, according to forensic evidence and the accepted standards of forensics, that a single person has ever succumbed to this virus. It looks like it is a totally failed pandemic. It's even worse than SARS, which killed 700 and some people, and a good deal worse than avian flu, which killed, what, a couple of hundred people maybe?
300 plus, yeah.
Right.
We have to take a break here, Rima, hold on. But we don't want to forget to mention probably the most successful artificially engineered pandemic, AIDS. That's killed a lot of folks.
The second most, 2018 pandemic.
Yeah. All right. That's another issue, too. Back in a minute with Dr. Rima Lebo, MD, as we continue our tour of her view of the pandemic issues, such as they are or aren't. Back in a minute. All right, let's get right back to Dr. Rima Lebo, MD, talking about things as she sees them, and they are very interesting things to watch. I think all of you, even if you don't know or haven't made a firm decision on this yet, have been more than aware of the duplicity and spinning and just absurd behavior of the CDC, the WHO, and other agencies regarding this issue. Go ahead, Rima, please.
Well, I want to talk about the fact that I hope everyone who's listening to this show and everyone who will listen to it on the archives will take a few minutes to go to www.healthfreedomusa.org and take the two actions on the top of the home page. The first action is to send an email for every member of your household or family demanding the right to self-shield, that is, not take the pandemic virus and not go to jail or to a FEMA camp, because although there may be exemptions in your state for religious reasons or for philosophical reasons or medical reasons to keep your child from being vaccinated, and there may not be any such exemptions for you as an adult, by the way, these are not conventional vaccines. The pandemic vaccines are covered under different laws. They're either covered under laws at the federal level that say you can be compelled to make a choice, and the choice is you either take the vaccine or you are incarcerated in a facility run by the federal government, which we believe would mean a FEMA facility, or if you are offered the vaccine at a state level, you would then be given the choice of taking the vaccine or, if you refuse it, being immediately considered to be a felon or having committed a misdemeanor, depending on the state, and as such, subject to immediate incarceration in a state facility. Mandatory means no exemptions. Now, if you're interested in how this works, you can go to the Health Freedom blog button on our site, healthfreedomusa.org, and you can read a piece that I wrote last week called Pushback Truth and the Ministry of Lies, which indicates how either the state or the federal government can say that vaccines are voluntary, but the voluntary choice is made under duress. That's illegal in the United States, but hey, as George Bush so famously remarked, the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper. Actually, it wasn't. It was just a GD piece of hemp parchment. Anyway, the point is that you need to take the few moments necessary to demand the right to self-shield. Ron Paul is considering introducing our legislation to give you the right to say no and not face incarceration. Even more urgent, however, is the fact that because on July 23rd, the FDA said that it would approve all vaccines for this pandemic, this mythical pandemic, without
all of them?
Any safety testing.
All of them?
All of them
without any safety testing.
Six different vaccines will be approved without safety testing. Now, that means that if you're offered the pandemic vaccine, there will have been no safety testing, and I'll get to what that means in a second. So, Gary Noll, Ted Koren, and we have created an emergency petition for relief to prevent the FDA from authorizing the use of any vaccines that have not been tested for safety. Now, we understand that safety in vaccines is an even bigger oxymoron than military intelligence.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
There is
no safety
in vaccines. Yes. However, now, I said that tongue-in-cheek, by the way, about military intelligence, because my husband, General Sullivan, was head of U.S. military intelligence. That's my little joke that so many people share. Anyway, the point is that there is no safety in vaccines, but at least we can slow them down long enough to take other action. However, if you don't help us, we may not have enough oomph in this action to actually force the FDA to stop. And we can force it if the action has enough people signing on as petitioners. If you can write your, if you can sign on your organization, your church, your club, your whatever, do so. There's a special link for that. If you sign on as an individual, do so and sign on once for every member of your family or household. We need to develop an enormous voice in this pushback. Let me tell you why. It's bad enough what you already know. But let's talk about the vaccine that is being used as the mock-up vaccine. That means a vaccine that is assumed to be acceptable already and for which, for whose virus, the H1N1 virus, and we believe the weaponized version of that, will be substituted.
Hold on, Rima, right there. We're going to do a break here in a minute, but I want to comment on that just briefly. So this prototype vaccine or beta version, the one you're talking about, which we will continue talking about in just a minute, raises so many red flags, it's ridiculous. I want to also mention the Gardasil vaccine. They're playing games, folks, with the whole idea of making vaccines. Gardasil is not an attenuated virus at all. It's got pieces of the DNA of the alleged target HPV virus in it. That's it. This is an incredibly dangerous type of vaccine, so-called vaccine, which has killed many little girls and damaged and debilitated many others for life. Do not allow your children to have that one either. So the fear factor must be addressed head-on by all rational, pragmatic Americans. And you can't be really rational and pragmatic unless you've got the hardcore data, which is what we're trying to give you here. Back in just a minute with Dr. Rima Laveau, M.D. I'm wondering, I had a thought, Rima, and because you both are so well known and Bert is a legend of our times, I'm wondering if you and maybe Gary Noll, I don't know, were to go to the National Press Club and set up a national press conference in which General Bert Stubblebine, as respected and worldwide as his fame, would stand up and say the same things you are. Talk about this issue of self-quarantine, that these vaccines are insane. He would have a lot of clout.
He certainly would, and he would also talk about the fact that the proposal that is for the Department of Defense to bring 400,000 troops, U.S. troops, onto U.S. soil to deal with the H1N1 pandemic is not only illegal under posse comitatus, but it's insane.
Totally insane.
Absolutely. In order to do that, and I think that's a great idea, as a matter of fact, we would have to have the some assurance that the press is not just the lapdog that it has been so far on this pandemic. but we could certainly try to make some significant waves. It sounds like a great idea to me. Let me talk about some of the things that people probably need to know right now about this vaccine, and some of the reasons that we're urging people to take the time to go to healthfreedomusa.org and take the actions that are at the top of the page, because we're talking about creating enough pushback to push these genocidal monsters back from their plans, to slow them down and to push them off center. We can do it. Pushback actually works, but it takes a lot of voices. I wanted to talk about the HIV protein in the Novartis vaccine.
As you know, I go way back with the HIV AIDS story, having published a book on it in 1991.
Yes.
I'm all ears. Please go ahead.
Well, you may be familiar with a protein called GP120.
I've heard of it.
Okay. GP120 is the signal HIV protein that the Western blot test looks for and that the ELISA test looks for. So if you have GP120 in your blood, you will have a positive HIV test. GP120, of course, is not unique to people who have HIV. Pregnant women have it, people who have any of the 90 endemic diseases in Africa.
That's right, and let me say one thing about that. That's why, even in my book, I said, don't consider ELISA to be valid. Don't rely on Western blot. You have to get a PCR you're going to have any test at all.
But most people will not get a PCR. Most people will simply get an HIV Western blot or an HIV ELISA test, because not even doctors know the full story about testing. So if the Novartis vaccine contains the GP120 HIV protein, what does that mean? It means that huge numbers of people are going to give them secondary profits. From the antiretroviral drugs that kill people, and will have healthy people. Now think about the pregnant women who will be getting these vaccines. The Novartis vaccine is a front runner vaccine, and it will be adjuvanted. We'll talk about that in a second. And these women are going to be told, I don't know how this happened, mother, but you have HIV.
You got AIDS. You know, it's not AIDS. You got AIDS, sister. Rima, what the hell are they putting that allegedly in the vaccines for? What's their reasoning? I don't understand it.
Because at the same time, there are bills in Congress being pushed forward to make it mandatory to have every pregnant woman tested for HIV, to make it mandatory to have everybody else tested for HIV.
Oh, I get it.
A positive test. You sell the damn drugs, and then you make an incredible amount of money while you kill people. But after all, it's all about making an incredible amount of money while you kill people, isn't it?
Yep. That's sickening. That's really despicable. Go ahead.
Beyond, I don't have any words for it. I have words for pretty much everything, but this is a level of evil and greed and psychopathy that I just don't have any adequate words for. So the situation speaks for itself. The situation is that these are polluted, contaminated, deadly vehicles of more death, more disease, and more ill-gotten profits for an industry that is truly an industry of death. Let me tell you the bad news now. May I?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. You've probably heard, and all of your listeners have heard, that the UK, which has said that they will mandate vaccines, and they have a little bit of a problem on their hand because the nurses of the UK have said, more than a third of them have said that they won't take the shot. But
little problem, yes.
Little problem. Leaving that part aside, they said that we can approve the H1N1 vaccines when we get them within 5 days. so they'll be perfectly safe. And people said, 5 days? How can you make sure they're safe within 5 days? And they said, well, we've tested a mock-up vaccine. That means that it's a vaccine against a different virus, but everything else is safe. Everything else is the same, I'm sorry. And we'll just switch one live attenuated virus for the other. Well, that mock-up virus is Smith-Kline-Glaxo's Pandremix, P-A-N-D-R-E-M-I-X. And I've done a little bit of checking around, a little bit of sleuthing, and I'd like to tell you about Pandremix. Pandremix contains 1 million times more squalene than vaccine A, which caused 25% or more of the 697,000 soldiers who were vaccinated with it to develop the disabling and frequently lethal disease that we now know as Gulf War Syndrome.
Rima, hold on right there. Hold on. We have to take a break. Now, when we come back, I want you to please repeat what you just said about the squalene. People listening and who visit the site and who visit your site know about squalene. Others have made an issue of it as well. What you just said is beyond preposterous, except in a diabolically evil sense. These people know precisely exactly what they're doing, and this is, this is amazing. All right, I'll be right back. I want all of you to really pay attention, as you always do, but especially so when we continue. Okay, right back to it with Dr. Rima Lebo, MD. All right, now, all of you who know about squalene, and I'm certain that's 90-plus percent of you. If not, go to rents.com, go to healthfreedomusa.org, do your research. Tell us what you just said before the break again, please.
Unfortunately, I'll be happy to. I wish that this were a bad dream, Jeff. I wish that we were all wrong about what we were saying, but we're not. Squalene is a natural part of the nervous system of every single human being in the world. And if it stays as part of the nervous system, it's a molecule that does no harm. If you rub it on your skin, as you do in cosmetics, no harm. If you breathe it or if you swallow it, no harm. But if it's injected into your bloodstream or gets into your bloodstream, then the immune system says, well, I've never met this molecule before because the squalene in your body is insulated from the immune system and the immune system doesn't get to taste it or get educated to it. And so it meets this molecule and it says, this doesn't look or taste like me, and my job as the immune system is to attack stuff that isn't me. So I'll start attacking this molecule, and then the immune system is educated to destroy the nervous system. And it does so by this pervasive immune attack on everything. It goes from the squalene molecules in your nervous system to your joints, to your GI tract, to your skin, and the entire range of horrifying symptoms of Gulf War Syndrome becomes manifest. Now, that was with a very, very tiny amount of squalene injected into the people who received vaccine A, and Gary Matsumoto's book is very clear about this. I want to remind people that when you develop antibodies to squalene, you develop a pervasive and incurable disease called Gulf War Syndrome. Soon it will be called Swine Flu Virus Syndrome. The new vaccine the Smith-Kline-Glaxo vaccine that will be approved without any safety testing unless we raise enough objection through the emergency petition for relief that I'm asking people to sign at our website, healthfreedomusa.org. That vaccine has already been on the market as Pandremix, and SmithKline-Glaxo is not the only company that's putting out a squalene adjuvanted vaccine for this non-issue disease called the swine flu. Novartis is doing so, and Novartis is the company that I was saying has introduced GP120 HIV protein into their vaccine. And by the way, when you check the Novartis patent application, nowhere does it say that they're going to put GP120 in. Nonetheless, they have done so. Pandremix, the SmithKline-Glaxo vaccine, has 1 million times more squalene that will be injected into your body than the vaccine that was used and caused so many hundreds of thousands of young men and women to be incapacitated and killed. Why?
That'll guarantee, Rima, virtually close to 100% catastrophe for everyone who gets this particular type of vaccine. 1 million times more squalene will guarantee people with an immunological destroying profile that will doom them.
It seems to me that anybody hearing this, just on the off chance that I'm correct, and unfortunately I'm totally correct on this one, needs to immediately race to their computer and take the action of demanding, joining the petition, the citizen's petition, which is a legal action against the government, of joining the citizen's petition to demand emergency relief and saying, you're going to put what into my children? You're going to put what into our pregnant women? You're going to put what into the people with chronic diseases? Your first target, the people who should be the last target of an experimental procedure? You're going to do what to me and to my mother? Oh, I don't think so. Without even the most rudimentary safety testing? Oh, no. You're not going to do that. And that's what our emergency petition for relief says. It says, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And so does our demand, and we're asking people to join us in this too, so does our demand for the right to say no to the vaccine without being incarcerated. And let me repeat again, because people keep coming back to this idea that's wrong. They say, well, but my state allows for religious or philosophical or medical exemptions to vaccination. Yes, for conventional vaccines, but not for pandemic vaccines. Massachusetts today, the House of Representatives in Massachusetts passed that the Senate has to act on that says if you refuse a pandemic vaccine, you will be fined $1,000 a day. And you will be sent to jail for a minimum of 30 days. The federal government has a law that says if you refuse a pandemic vaccine, you will be fined a minimum of $250,000 and you will be sent to jail for a minimum of a year. That's in addition to the indefinite incarceration and quarantine. Folks, the rules are different. You have a narrow window of opportunity to act in a way that changes the plans of these insane people. And if you don't act, you'll have plenty of time while you're sitting on a FEMA train or sitting in jail or a FEMA camp wondering whether if you had acted, it might have turned out differently. Let's assume for a moment that I'm wrong. The worst that can happen is that you will gain some freedom by being able to refuse vaccination if you want to and gain some safety by having the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, not permitted to put out vaccines that have never been tested. Because remember, you have no ability, no right any longer to sue a company that hurts you if that company manufactures vaccines, as long as they didn't act in willful knowledge of the fact that it would harm you, which means They don't want to do the safety testing because then they might know how harmful these things are.
They already know. This is ridiculous. In human history, modern human history, I've never seen anything like this or heard of anything like this. It is so blatantly criminal in its intent and evil in its application that I don't understand this Massachusetts House passing such a, these people are crazy. I saw a clip on YouTube of one of the representatives there in the Massachusetts House. The guy is either brain dead or he's on somebody's payroll or both. I couldn't figure it out. I could not believe what I was hearing. Yeah. Something. All right, we have 2 minutes left, Rima. Just a great presentation.
Thank you, Jeff. The most important thing that I can tell you, if you're listening to this, is to act. If you don't act, you make the choice to give these people power. And obviously, that's a very, very bad choice. www.healthfreedomusa.org has two actions that you need to take to help protect yourself and your entire way of life. The symposium on the swine flu vaccine that just concluded last Friday makes it very clear. The swine flu vaccine, they say, is the end of the United States as we know it. Well, I'm not prepared for that yet. And I imagine you're not. So go to www.healthfreedomusa.org. Take the action. The life you save just might be your own.
And those of your loved ones. This could be quite literally the end of our way of life as we knew it. This might be the big paradigm shift that the controllers want. And I just am appalled. A million times more squalene in the Glaxo version. This is, it's murder, folks. How else do you define it? And I hope you and Bert and Gary and anyone else can get together, get some more big names. If Bert Stubblebine stands up at the National Press Club and says the same things you've been saying, the media will be there. He commands respect. The only media that won't be there is the media that's ordered to stay away. So think about it, and I can't travel, but I cannot travel. I will do everything I can to help you.
Do it electronically.
I'll certainly be doing it electronically.
How about we set up an electronic press conference?
We can do that.
Okay.
Sure. Whatever you want to do, I'd be happy to help. This is not human behavior, folks, and I do use that term all too often now. I'm seeing it more and more. This is not human behavior. This is a low, virulent virus which doesn't kill many people at all. There's no reason for any of this. It's completely contrived. Rima, thank you for being here. Give my best to Bert. Talk to you very soon.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, even when the news is this bad, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Rima Labo, MD, healthfreedomusa.org. I did the petitions. Do them. You got to make your voice somehow heard by somebody. All right. We'll be back in a few minutes.